We'll go ahead and start notices here by giving the Commissioner's Court of Orange County, Texas. We'll meet on Thursday, September 26, 2019, at 10 a.m. in the Commissioner's Courtroom located at 123 South 6th Street for the following purpose, to wit, and that is our special court agenda. We will start with the invocation. I think Ms. Commissioner Beecham is doing that today.
Thank you, our dear Heavenly Father, for this day that you have blessed us with to do your work. God, we have been set back again. Give us strength and faith to move forward. We must be strong and with your help to get back on track and move us in the right direction. Many are left without homes and businesses and schools, and families have been split apart, and many of us have asked, why us again? Help us all to get back in the race and work towards a stronger and bigger and better finish. With your love for us and the direction from you, we will prevail. Amen.
Amen.
The pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one indivisible.
All right, well, first I'd like to say for sure everybody, for thank y'all for all coming out. Our meeting this week was off of our normal schedule of Tuesdays due to a circumstance that we're all very aware of that happened last week. So we had to make some changes in that so we'd be able to get some things accomplished during our court session today that we needed to do in a schedule that we have to follow. So we're going to have the comment session, public comment part at the end, but I would like to kind of start out just on my own, if y'all would allow me to. But I want to thank everybody in this county that, especially from our employee base, that worked extremely hard over the last several days to get this county back up and running. When you have a situation that we certainly were not prepared for because we didn't know it was going to happen. But to ramp up as fast as we did from our emergency management side, from our employee side, from our sheriff's department side, to get rescues out, to get things in place. Sabrina Gray, for what you did out there, for helping those folks, getting us a shelter set up till we could get a shelter set up. I mean, I the list goes on and on. But the employees of this county have bent over backwards to be a service to our citizens. And I watched sheriff's department guys come in, as we all did, that were worked all night, worked all day, and were soaking wet, and would load up and go right back out again. We had road and bridge guys out that were soaking wet, keeping our roads passable, that were driving school buses to pick up people and move people. I mean, the list goes on, but I wanted to say thank you. And I'm sure on behalf of this court, for everything that everybody did, it touched everybody in this county, and our volunteers that showed up to help at different areas without being asked. I'll tell you, we had folks all over the place showing up to help. This community is a great community, and it's times like these that you shows what we really have here with the resilience of our folks and how each person is willing to help each person. I was in a neighborhood yesterday to where people were going from house to house to house, with that their own houses were flooded, and they were just going back and forth helping each other with the gutting out process. And it's fantastic when you see stuff like that. And it's hard. It's very emotional. Everybody in this room, I absolutely know somebody that was affected by this. And thank you for all you're doing for your folks that are flooded. That shoulder to cry on, that shoulder to lean on, that somebody to talk to, is beneficial to those folks right now. We've all been there. Most of us have been flooded sometime, and maybe we skated through this one, but you know somebody that didn't. I'm telling you, they need you. They need you right now probably more than they ever have, and so we want to continue to do that. And I just wanted to start court by saying that, like I said, at the end we'll still do public comments, and we want to do that, but I wanted to start that because I think it's important that we acknowledge what happened. We left here at court last week with a beautiful day and pretty weather, and we ended up Wednesday night in the middle of the night with a disaster that we did not foresee coming. But everybody reacted extremely well, and I just want to thank everybody for their reaction in the court. Fantastic job with everybody jumping out there, getting in the areas. Even the folks that some of the commissioners, that a couple that didn't have as much damage, been out there in the areas that were, but in the other places that were damaged and helping. And that's important for all of us to do. And so, again, thank you. With that being said, then we'll go ahead and move on to the first agenda item, which is on the addendum. I'm going to start with that so we can go ahead and get those things covered. And that is discussion and possible action regarding items related to national disaster, Imelda. I have that on the agenda, but that's actually Mr. Ardoin will be talking about that. Thank you, sir, and because we have some things that we need to get in place today. So we'll start with those, and you kind of, if you want to briefly overview those, and then we'll make action on the ones that we need to make action on.
Okay. Judge, Commissioners, I'll reiterate what the judge said, and I do want to thank the judge, the commissioners, Sheriff Merritt, the Sheriff's Department, all of the other county departments that made my job a whole lot easier. So thanks to all of you. I got several things to cover, so we'll just jump into it as far as the things that need action. So discussion and possible action on extending the disaster declaration for 30 days, which would extend it to October 26th, local disaster declaration.
I'll make a motion on that.
I'll second that.
Okay, so I have a motion by three, a second by one. Any further discussion on that extension? No further discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. All right. Second.
Waiving the discussion and possible action of waiving the building permit fees that are related to the damage from Tropical Storm Imelda.
For what time period? Same period?
No, at this point I would say that's just indefinite until we get past the reconstruction phase. I'll put it back on the agenda to stop that.
For the ones affected by the disaster?
No, for the disaster.
Correct.
Yeah, for the disaster affected folks.
Yes.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Building permit fees.
And that, again, is only for disaster-related.
Disaster-related.
They still do need to have permits.
They still have to have the permits, yes. Right. We have to keep track of that, and it'll just be a waiving of the fees for those damages.
And that is, I'm sorry, yeah. It says a motion by four.
Two.
I'm sorry, motion by two, seconded by?
No.
Four. Motion by four, seconded okay. By two.
I thought I had that right. Excuse me. All right, motion by four, seconded by two. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
Okay. Discussion and possible action on the waiving of the landfill fees.
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Indefinitely.
And motion by one, second.
Well, until such time as we bring it back to the court.
Okay. Motion by one, second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, discussion and possible action on the use of the closed landfill site for a debris mission.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion by three, second by four. And you want to kind of discuss what that's about, the TCQ permit and all that kind of, you want to kind of explain that?
Yeah. What we'll do is, I have the paperwork TCQ sent the other day. When the court approves that, we will, I'll fill all that paperwork out. We'll send it up the channel to TCEQ. You have to get the EHP done on that. The Historical Commission has to come in and make sure that that's not a historical site. Hopefully that'll be expedited since we just used it 2 years ago.
I was going to say, how much history could have happened in 2 years? But,
It's
part of the process. I understand.
And once they approve that, then if we do or don't get the presidential declaration, I think there's enough debris that we'll still have to end up using that site.
All right. And just on the efficiency side, from those people being able to drop that off there first and not have to take it all the way to the other two locations, it's a long turnaround if they have to end up doing that. So that's one of the reasons why we use that. All right, so we have a motion by three, a second by four. Any further discussion?
I just want to ask y'all, you mentioned something about the presidential. Do you think, how long will it be before we know about that?
Well, we are, let me answer that when we get to that point.
I have that answer. Another place to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so we have a motion by three, a second by four. No further discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
I think this is probably a judge call, but I put it on here anyway. Discussion and possible action of deactivating the Emergency Operations Center as of 1900 hours today. This evening at 7 p.m.
Yeah, and that is a call I can make. We can make action for it just for record if y'all want to do it that way, but I can call that, and I want to call that. We want to.
And just to clarify on that, we are not, we're going to still be in the response and recovery mode. We're going to maintain level three, which is an increased readiness level at the state's mission, and we'll continue what we're doing. We're just, the EOC will not be officially activated.
Okay. And so that we make sure that we cover that, I'll make that motion so that we cover it. But I can make that decision anyway. So, but I'd like it to be part of the court if we're okay with that.
All right. Sure. We can also just accept it into the record however you want to do it, Judge.
Yeah. Well, we can accept into the record that we're ending that.
I'll move to accept that in the record that a judge is going to close the EOC. I
see.
At that time.
So will that stop it
with that
today?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Yes, sir. I'm looking at Joel answering you, so. I got my yes, sir, and yes, ma'am's messed up. All right. We had a motion by one, seconded by four. And then any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So that's in record. All right. That motion passes.
Same thing with this next item as well. It's a judge call, but discussion and possible action on closing of the pods as of 1800 hours on Friday, September 27th, which will be 6 p.m.
Tomorrow
at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
What your plan is, Judge?
The plan is to shut the pods at effective 7 p.m. tomorrow afternoon.
I'll move you in and set the records of the fact that the judge will close the pods Friday at 7?
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
I second that.
And that will require a letter from you, Judge, to send up to the state to demob those assets.
We will do that.
So that how active are any of those? Not very active anymore.
They were Monday.
Yeah, they're starting to dwindle down.
Right. I went by Morrisville's yesterday and drove right up to where the guys were there just to check
they
on
them. They don't have much left.
And there was one car that pulled up behind me while I was there, so there's not much going on.
Yeah, there's everything's back open store-wise, and so folks can get what they need.
All right, the motion was made by, I'm sorry.
One and two.
Any other activity? Any other discussion?
I will say there was a Red Cross person that was out on Monday out at Little Cypress in front of Market Basket. And there was the military, and the Red Cross, and the food bank. And one of the Red Cross ladies said that she had never seen anybody all work together like that. Because when Red Cross ran out of something, they started helping us and, you know, that sort of thing. So it was a very steady crowd there. All we had left was raisins.
All right. We have a motion by one, second by two to put that in record. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay. That's all the action items that I have now to cover a few other things. Commissioner Beecham, to answer your question as far as where we stand on that, what we did, and it's worked extremely well, and I think it's worked so well that the state will probably adopt that as a standard. Chief Kidd with TDM was very impressed with it. We had some TDM folks that have, for long-term recovery, that have come in to the EOC, and they created this database or this website. And it was a self-survey, folks, and it's on the website, county website. They can go on there, click on that, take this survey, and it puts a dot on the map that for everyone that fills that survey out. And currently, as of this morning, we've been doing the individual assistance, PDAs, for collecting the data for the damage to try to meet that presidential declaration. We've had one team, and we've worked, I'm lose track of days. I don't know, the last several days that we've been out there doing it till from daylight to dark, collecting that data and verifying those dots on the map that those folks have called in. It's been pretty accurate from the damage that was reported on that survey as to what we're finding out there. As of this morning, we had 2,514 folks that have self-reported on that. And this morning, we have three teams of those PDA teams, which consist of FEMA personnel, state emergency management personnel, and county personnel. And they're going door-to-door when possible to do these surveys, talk to the folks, see if they had flood insurance and all of those things that go into this presidential declaration. So that's working very well. Our numbers are pretty good for this county. That's not a good way to put that.
No, it's not.
Our numbers are up. That will help us to get that declaration. Jefferson County has not started theirs yet. I think they are scheduled to begin theirs Friday. And between what we have and what they have, we'll probably put this region over the top. I think they have 2,800, not verified, but 2,800 for individual assistance numbers that they're looking at.
Is that counting Hampshire and Winnie and all that?
No, that's a separate county. That's in a different cog. So that's Chambers. They're going to be part of that number as well. There were 13 declared counties.
And
so
we all go together. Okay.
Yeah, for statewide to meet the state threshold for the governor to request the presidential declaration. So those numbers are looking pretty good right now. As to when that'll be, we keep hearing it's going to be, they think it's getting close, it's going to be today, but so far that hasn't happened. So,
what's that number, Joel?
That started Tuesday.
Our number, yeah. For PA, it's 37.6 million, I think. And 800 homes. So I think we meet the homes. I think we've surpassed that. But
is that 800 uninsured homes?
They have to be. This is just for the threshold to meet that threshold. But they have to be uninsured, underinsured, and they cannot have had a claim during Harvey.
Because if they had a claim during Harvey, didn't it roll over to an insurance that was provided by?
It's a group policy thing, and they're trying to get that nailed down.
Okay.
Do we know where we are on the dollar amount for the public assistance?
Not yet. We haven't started the PAs yet. They've just now put that out. The teams are now available for PA, and as soon as we finish the IA side, the individual assistance, we'll start working on the PA side for public assistance. We'll be transitioning in from response to recovery. We've already begun that process. We have those folks here. We are demobilizing our other assets that were there from the state for response as far as personnel that we had, so they'll be going back home shortly. As far as our burn rate so far, Penny supplied me with those numbers. We have, as far as disaster-related, 2,251 man-hours that have been worked the last couple of days, and a total burn rate as of yesterday at 169,572. So I think that's all I have this morning. Any questions?
No, and I would like to add that our long-term recovery group is still up and running. Thank goodness, we hadn't folded that down, so our long-term recovery group, so as we start getting those kind of things of groups that are wanting to go to the rebuild side, we want to channel that towards our long-term recovery group, which is Michelle Tubbleville, and that group to start get that stuff in that committee, because to your point, Joel, the next phase is recovery and rebuild, and that's where they really come into play at, and we want to make sure that we talk about them so that people can know where to start looking at for that help.
John, that's going to be a big improvement over Harvey. We've got them in place, so the response will be a little quicker. So
I think Chief Kidd coined this phrase, but he said response is the beginning of recovery.
That's right.
So yes. Every day is a recovery day.
Every day is a recovery day.
Well said.
And I will say that the state has recognized and does recognize, since Harvey, our long-term recovery group, which Michelle heads that up, that ours and Hardin County as the premier long-term recovery. They've accomplished more in the last 2 years on that than anybody else in the state.
Michelle Tupperville.
And those that we are looked at as the go-to for long-term recovery as an example of how to operate.
And they do a fantastic job, and I'm sure they, I know they will continue to do a fantastic job. So I know when you see her, thank her, because I was hoping she was going to be here today, but she's busy.
She's busy.
So, she's an unbashed.
Let her know. Orange County Disaster Rebuild. Yes. There's a website and a Facebook page. If anybody would like to go on those pages,
that's all I have.
And I'm glad that we are really probably the premier place to do that. I'm just not glad that we have the experience for it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Joel, for all that, for the updates. And also, so we'll now we'll go to addendum number 2, and that's discussion and possible action regarding approving a line item transfer for adult probation, and that's from 006-298-51110, regular salaries of $400, to 006-298-51230, retirement $400, purpose to provide funds for the remainder of the year. I don't think she's here, but that's a...
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion by 1, second by 2. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So we'll move over to the regular agenda items now. We'll start number 1, discussion and possible action regarding issuing a resolution certifying the Texas Department of Agriculture Texans Feeding Texans Home Delivered Meal Grant Program for 2020. Do we have anybody here from that that's going to speak on that? Okay, so a lot of we had these in place. Some of them may have not been able to make it because of the deal. We had it on the agenda, so we'll go ahead and
I'll make a motion to issue the resolution.
Okay, I'll see which one of the two, so I can make sure I got the right one. And I will read it first, and then we can take that. So, all right, a resolution of the County of Orange, Texas, certifying that the county has made a grant to Orange County Community Association of Work, an organization that provides home-delivered meals to homebound persons in the county who are elderly and or have a disability, and certifying that the county has approved the organization's accounting system or fiscal agent. Whereas the organization desires to apply for grant funds from the Texas Department of Agriculture to supplement and extend existing services for homebound persons in the county who are elderly and or have a disability pursuant to the Home Delivered Meal Grant Program. And whereas the program rules require the county in which an organization is providing home-delivered meal services to make a grant to the organization in order for the organization to be eligible to receive program grant funds. And whereas the program rules require the county to approve the organization's accounting system or fiscal agent in order for the organization to be eligible to receive program grant funds. And whereas the county recognizes Linda Hughes as an official of the organization applying for a home-delivered meal grant from the Texas Department of Agriculture, be it resolved by the county. Section 1, the county hereby certifies that it has made a grant to the organization in the amount of $45,000 to be used between the 1st of October 2019 and the 30th of September 2020. Section 2, the county hereby certifies that the organization provides home-delivered meals to homebound persons in the county who are elderly and or have a disability. Section 3, the county hereby certifies that it has approved the organization's accounting system or fiscal agent, which meets financial management system requirements as set forth by the Uniform Grant Management Standards promulgated by the Texas Comptroller of Public Accounts. Introduced, read, and passed by this affirmative vote of the County Commissioners Court on this 26th day of September 2019. Now we can take a motion.
So moved.
Okay, so I have a motion by 1, second by 3. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. So we'll get this signed. For some reason, we want to go left.
Do you want to come before me?
Well, I think Commissioner Viator is going to claim a stake to his
space.
His space.
For the first time.
It's going to be a new experience, for Commissioner.
I had room.
It's amazing. John, you want to reach around?
Yeah. I'll give it to him. Do we need a black pen to sign this?
Not necessarily.
Start the clock.
Y'all distract me and make
it's gotta go there. She's got it, she's got a sign
down
there also.
Signed.
Yeah, she's got a sign down there also. Next one. All right, item two, discussion and possible action regarding issuing a proclamation recognizing the Gift of Life Breast and Ovarian Cancer Awareness Program. And I know we have someone there to talk about that, so if you'd like to go ahead and talk about it, then I'll do the proclamation.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here to receive this proclamation on behalf of the Gift of Life. I'm Ingrid Holmes, and this is Lauren Broussard, and we're with the Gift of Life program. Each year, the Gift of Life provides over 2,300 free breast screenings for medically underserved women in our community. We have diagnosed so far this year over 17 women with breast cancer. It's a very significant program, and not only do we provide breast cancer screening, we also provide a free prostate cancer screening and any other service that the people we serve need in our community. I'm very humbled to be here this morning because I recognize what the court and what this community has gone through. And please understand and know that the Gift of Life will be hosting its run on October 5th. But as a result of what has recently occurred in our community, we will also be having a few distribution sites at our run, so for people to receive for who've been impacted by the storm. Please know that the Gift of Life is with this community every step of the way.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I'll go ahead and read. Whereas September and October are National Ovarian and Breast Cancer Awareness Months, and is estimated that more than 354,000 women will be diagnosed with either breast or ovarian cancer, and nearly 56,000 women will die from these diseases in the United States. And whereas early detection is key to achieving the best possible outcome for a woman who is diagnosed with ovarian or breast cancer, and by learning about possible warning signs, women can increase their likelihood of detecting these cancers in its earliest stages. And whereas to heighten awareness of these diseases, the Gift of Life will host the 9th Annual Julie Richardson Proctor 5K Ribbon Run Color Rush in downtown Beaumont on Saturday, October 5th, as well as other Get in the Pink grassroots initiatives. And whereas the Gift of Life annually provides medically underserved Southeast Texas women with free breast cancer screenings and diagnostic mammograms, ultrasounds, and biopsies, with access to cancer treatment, and has helped extend the lives of nearly 250 women whose breast cancer was detected through its free critical services. And therefore, I, John H. Gauthier, Judge of Orange County, Texas, do here proclaim the month of September as Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month, October as Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Thursday, September 26th, as Gift of Life Program Day in Orange County, and ask all citizens to join me in raising awareness and becoming informed. In witness whereof, I hereby set my hand and cause the seal of office of Orange County Judge to be affixed this 26th day of September 2019. If I have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion by one, second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes. Thank you. So, if you want, we'll get a picture here in a second with this. Let me get you on that. And thank you for all y'all do. I know our community appreciates it. And especially anytime that you can get this stuff early, we know that's the key. Mm-hmm. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
And when you're actually done, if you'll stop by my office on the way out, she'll make you a copy. I mean, she'll make a copy of it for my records, and then you can take it.
Does she need
to? We'll do it this way first, then we'll do it.
I wore pink for y'all today, so I hope you appreciate that. That's it.
I'm after.
Goodness. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll let you know. There you go. Thank you. Move to item number three, discussion and possible action regarding a contract with Tetra Tech, Inc. for debris monitoring services pursuant to the award of RFP 19005. Possible action may include authorizing the county judge or judge pro tem to execute the same.
Did we ever get that contract?
Yes.
Down?
Yeah, Denise got it. And, I'm sorry, it's okay.
The Tetra Tech contract.
The Tetra Tech contract is all you got it. I know I saw your email this morning, so.
Yes.
All good, and everything's
yes.
good on that.
The
contract.
Version that you have is the clean version. I went back and forth with Tetra Tech, so the version you have now is the clean, finalized, and executed on their part.
Okay.
Okay, so it's debris pickup.
This is the monitoring. So we already did the debris pickup before contract. Now this is the monitoring contract.
Okay.
You have the monitor that monitors the debris pickup.
Is this the time for me to ask the question, when does it start?
This is not anything to do with the issuance of that. This is just getting a contract in place.
Okay. Okay.
So and to be clear, that contract is only activated in the event of a natural disaster.
Yeah, which we have not done yet.
Which means we don't pay anything until we order them to start order.
And this is the same company we used before.
I have a motion by one, a second by four. Any other further discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Certainly not wanting to have to activate the contract. We just wanted to get the contract in place. We were hoping to activate yet. But anyway, here we go. Item four, discussion and possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listings and also specifically as follows. $1,150 to Claybar Funeral Home from the general fund 001-111-54290 for indigent funeral expenses. Item B, $147,154.05 to Marsh Waterproofing, Inc. from the Contractual Obligation Series 2016 Fund 076-915-52930 for contract payment request number 3 for the Orange County Courthouse Restoration Project due September 2019.
And Judge, I also want to point out on B, we paid LaBiche. Instead of paying Marsh, anyway, they sent that check back. This is a payment to Marsh. And everything, so it's not a double payment.
No.
We're now paying the person who did the work, the actual work.
So we're paid up. We're paid right.
So, and also for September 26, 2019, from the general fund, $254,976.79. Road and Bridge, $86,869.45. Mosquito Control, $3,240.51. Adult Probation, $9,221.79. Airport, $1,974.31. And consolidated accounts, $149,764.27, for a grand total of $506,047.12.
When do we go ahead and pay the bills as listed by the auditor?
I second that.
A motion by one, a second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item 5, discussion and possible action regarding approving a line item transfer for transportation from 001-601-52300, fuel, oil, gas, and grease of $1,500, to 001-601-51120, overtime salaries of $1,500, purpose to move budget to accommodate for overtime.
Janelle couldn't be here today, but due to the storm and working and everything, she's going to need this for to finish up the year.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by one, second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item 6. Discussion and possible action regarding approving a line item transfer Sheriff Office from 001-743-52190, medical and drug supplies of $6,000, to 001-743-535-111, transport of prisoners, $6,000, purpose to provide funds to replenish the line item. Sheriff Merritt.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Motion by two, second by three. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item 7, discussion and possible action regarding the immediate need to utilize capital outlay. Kirk Rockford, Precinct 3. Mr. Rockford.
Yes, sir. So some of the equipment that's in our new budget is a lengthy time period to receive this equipment. I've had a little talk with Clark, and Clark has kind of updated everyone. I think everyone got an email on that. These boom mowers in particular are like 6 months out, 6 or 8 months out. It's quite a period to get them once you order them. But we were told that we can order them without making a payment for them up front. So I talked with Penny about it. She said she didn't have any problem with that as long as we didn't have to make payment until after the first of the year, or until we receive these boom truck or boom mowers.
And I would like it, if possible, that contractually be in the contract that, you know, that sure. We will not be accepting it till like at least after January 15th.
Oh yeah. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. And the thing that just going to add in on that, because we try to do that, because the last 2 months of our year are our hardest months with no financial. We've got the money to cover our operations through the end of the year. We want to do that. But if we were to start buying this stuff that we've approved for next year and it shows up early and we start making those payments before we start receiving our new tax revenue, it could put us in a bind. And so if that's the case and it's going to push it past January, I think we're all pretty comfortable with that. So.
Yes, and the the pieces of equipment we're ordering, we're really in dire need of. Because it serves the whole county, and we just can't catch up. We can't catch up with the grass. Everybody here probably has heard about the not mowing the ditches and so on and so forth, and these are that type of equipment that we need to do that. And the reason we really can't keep up with it now is because of our equipment, and it's old, and we keep having issues with it, and we really need these pieces of equipment.
We need
all the pieces of equipment that we have in the budget, but these will take so long that if we don't order them now, It'll be over the grass season. It'll be over before we get them. So that's why I wanted to get them ordered.
I agree. You know, we probably somewhere in the near future, we probably need to have a little workshop just to discuss all the equipment, road and bridge, where we're at on that, the status of it, so we can kind of get a better idea of what we need and where we need to go. But I support that. If we don't have to wait until January, we can get our order in the pipeline and get them here. I think that's a good idea.
Does the court have any concern over the money we're fixing to be putting out for debris pickup and issues like that, and how that it will affect us next year? I mean, this equipment, no doubt, is needed. I supported it, pushed hard for it, and I support before our latest incidents doing this on. I just want to make sure we take that into consideration.
Yeah, and we've had some very brief discussions about what we think we're going to be at. You know, I mean, of course, we all know that the Federal Declaration is very important to us, you know, and how we plan moving forward. But all that being said, I think the fact that this is going to, that the payment's going to be made after the first of the year,
we have
funds to cover it. So I think we're okay with that. You know, we've got a not the reserve we need, but we've got a reserve in our general fund balance, and we're okay with that. I think we can
I just wanted to make sure we took that into consideration.
Yeah, and the burn rate, as we call it, even though that's a large number, we're managing it pretty well by being able to shut these things down so that we can get back to normal process that will help us with that and control that. So that's kind of what we're trying to make sure we do. But
and I also think that by the time we order these, we're going to know where that federal declaration is. So that'll be a big plus to us. Sure, and we can revisit that. And I mean, I'll kind of leave it in the hands of the purchasing and the auditor to kind of make sure and see that through. But I just want to get the court to give us permission to do that and go forward.
Do we need action on that, or the judge can just make that call?
It's an approved item. I don't know that we necessarily need action on it. Just a typical buying process, would we all normally hold those bigger items off before we start ordering. They're approved. Yes, sir?
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Okay, and said so. I mean, I don't know that it necessarily needs action to do. It's an approved budget item, so we just typically ask that they postpone or push till the first after this first couple of months to before they start buying those large ticket items. That's kind of the normal.
Does that also extend to the capital outlay to the sheriff's office on our cars if we feel sure that we will be getting them before the new budget or before January?
Yeah,
I feel sure if we order them today, we probably wouldn't. Is that still for us?
What we were discussing, Connie and Denise were going to get together, and if we can put that in the language of the contract so that we will not accept that prior to end of January, January 15th or whatnot, then we can go ahead and purchase those after October 1st.
Order, you mean?
Order.
Yes,
order. Yeah. Basically, they would be ordered, but we would not pay until after
January 1st. Clear in the bid or the RFP or the contract that we will not accept delivery until after a specified date.
Right. And I think that would be fine for the sheriff's. I think that would be fine for all of our big vehicles that we're purchasing, because we have several trucks and equipment buying. You know, those things that we have to order, they typically take a long period of time. We're okay with that. It's just we need to have that payment be after. After. I mean, I know it for whatever reason it takes forever to get some of these vehicles, but there are a few of the vehicles that are on there. That don't need special equipment, that don't need a handful of those, that I want to try our best that we bid locally for those vehicles first, because they don't need lights and siren like the sheriff's vehicles do, or some of the emergency management stuff. But those I would be more concerned with, because they may have them on the lot today. So we need to kind of...
We just have to really control our cash flow until revenue start flowing in.
For sure. We're actually receiving some vehicles from our last budget.
Yeah, it's just
that. There was the dump truck in Roden Bridge that... took a slow road from somewhere. It took a while to get here.
Well, your emergency management vehicle, it just showed up.
And 7 months.
Yeah, 7 months. So it takes a while to get this.
We're probably pretty safe.
And of course, they didn't order them until after the first of the year. So that's
the deal.
Type of situation.
But I also know we have some very industrious folks out there that if we give them go ahead right now, they'll find one sitting on a lot and drive it over here tomorrow. So we just need to be conscious of what you're doing. That's what we're asking. Yes, ma'am.
And just so y'all know, that there are some other equipment that is going to be purchased as of October 1. The Votech for the elections. We have to get that here before the November elections, and so that has also been approved to be an immediate purchase item, as well as there's a copier for that's for VIT, for the tax office. Theirs went down in Bodder, and they are doing some switch around. And so that is out of their special funds. It's not out of general fund, and so that is also an immediate item that's
Need to make it, all of these items come before court as we go forward with them for the order?
I think the election machines already.
Okay. I mean, they've been approved through the budget.
Sure.
You, as long as y'all take care of them on the contract language side, then we should be protected.
Okay.
Other than that, I don't think we need action on it.
Okay.
Any other discussion on that, Adam? Well, thank you. All right, we'll move to item 8, discussion and possible action to accept and approve the civil process fees for Orange County. Those fees must be set by October 1st of each year and will become effective January 1st, 2020. This is in accordance with Local Government Code Section 118.131. A notice setting out the fees shall be posted in the same manner in which notices are posted under Section 81.007 and shall be posted in the offices of the county officials who are authorized to charge the fees. Sheriff Merritt.
Commissioner, this is what's basically required that the county do every year. Sheriff's Department's usually taking the lead on this to check with all the agencies that charge these fees, with the county clerk, district clerk, the constables, the JPs. Everyone is in agreement to they feel comfortable leaving the fees exactly as they are, as they were the year that we're under now. So there will be no change to the fees if the court approves that for starting January the 1st of 2020.
Okay. Make a motion.
Motion by 3, second by 2. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Sheriff. Item 9, discussion and possible action regarding the certification of the August 2019 collection report for the tax office as required under PTC 31.10. Ms. Fisher.
Good morning. Total collection for August was $1,931,737.37. The county's portion of that is $234,048.71.
Make a motion.
You have a motion by 4.
Second.
Accept. Motion a second by 3. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item 10, discussion and possible action on a bid submitted on the following trust properties. Item A is account number 000118-014901, case number A150157-T, property location is 180 Colburn, Vider, Texas. Item B is 005844-00260, case number A150042-T, and that is Zoanne Drive in Vider, Texas. Ms. Fisher again.
Okay. On item A, we received a bid for $1,400, and on item B, we received a bid for $800. I recommend that we accept these bids because it's a line area, and just get it back on the tax roll is my thing.
180 Colburn, if I'm not mistaken, I know there at one time I think there was a substandard structure standing there.
Yes, sir.
The city of Vider, during their pride and progress, tore that substandard structure down due to several reasons. It was a habitual call out for the police department, vagrants, and it was definitely unsafe. But it's basically a blank piece of land now, and I agree with Mr. Fisher. Let's turn it back to the public and
let them do something.
See what happens.
Get some more money.
Yeah.
Motion.
Second.
I have a motion by 3, a second by 4. Any further discussion? By 3, second by 2.
Is that on 180 Coburn or is that both pieces?
I'm going to do both pieces in your motion?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. All right, so we'll have motion by 3 to include both pieces.
I just had some questions. So $800 is pretty low for a piece of land.
On that piece of land, I'd recommend going ahead and putting it back in.
So that's what I'm saying.
And I think he knows.
Okay. please. All right, because that's your precinct. I'm going to rely on your...
Did you look at the picture, John?
Huh? See pictures? Yeah, I'm looking at them.
Yeah, it's not in some good...
I think they're doing a good thing.
We had a motion?
Yes.
A motion by three and a second by two. Any further discussion, Mr. Trahan?
I've got the necessary information.
All in favor? Any opposed? Item number 11, record in the minutes the amended order setting the salary of the county auditor and assistants in the office of the county auditor's office under the terms Texas Local Government Code sections 152.905 and 152.031. And you were not Miss Edgley, but...
Brandy Avery, Chief Deputy. Basically, it's just a function of the district clerk's office. These are just amended orders.
Okay. And it's just us accepting them. We just have to accept, so...
Move and accept.
Second.
Yeah. Motion by three, second by four. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Brandy.
Thank you.
All right. Item 12, record in the minutes the amended appointment and order setting salary of the purchasing agent under the terms of Texas Local Government Code Section 262.011. This is the same item. It's just we're accepting the order.
Same thing. I make a motion.
Second.
A motion by two, second by one. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Discussion and possible action authorizing County Judge John H. Guthrie to sign the FY 2020 Routine Airport Maintenance Program, otherwise known as the RAMP Grant. The grant is administered by TxDOT Aviation. County match is 50% of actual costs plus any excess of $100,000 total cost. Ms. Pillsbury.
Judge, Commissioners, this is just the annual grant we get from TxDOT to help out with our to meet our airside needs, and after those are all met, any other items that are eligible at the airport.
Motion.
Second.
Motion by three, second by one. Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Item 14, open court session for comments from court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the following week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes. And just as a reminder, the court cannot respond to any of those comments since it was not an item, agenda item. So if we have anybody from the audience that would like to speak, come to the podium, please, and state your name and where you live.
Carl LeBlanc, Precinct 3. I just want to make clear I have nothing, not affiliated with this at all, but it's just been on social media. The Elmina Shriners was holding a circus November 2nd and the 3rd at the 10 Top 2 Arena on Old Pivotal Road. I don't know if anybody, if y'all ever been to one, they're great. They used to be at the Montaigne Center at Lamar. I don't know what happened to it, but I guess they just haven't done it. And the funds raised, I think, goes to their children's hospital. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Judge, I failed to mention everybody a while ago because there was too many to thank for all the help that they did. Mm-hmm. But I do want to recognize Acadian and Robert Crane. They were with us at the EOC throughout, and all the other agencies that we have locally that did pitch in to help, and all the city officials as well. We had a good organization going and a lot of cooperation, and the citizens. Through all that they've been through, the ones that have been affected, they have been very gracious to our teams that are going out there to get the damage assessments completed. So I just wanted to make sure I recognize them as well.
Thank you. Sabrina?
Old man, get up here. I'm Robert Ed Rothrock, 1511 Dawnwood Drive. And I don't know why we can't stop the water from the river flowing back into the pump station to pump it back into the river. you don't believe it's happening, go down there and look on. Go to the old park and come back. The old Navy park and run back in that canal. Run back down there and they pumped it back in the river, costing the hell out of them. You need to be straightened up and blocked off or something, or dam filled up or something. I don't know what you need to do. It's the same thing happened to Little Cypress Lake, flowing back in the inundation. It overflowed in the drain. All you need is a little clapper valve on the end of that overflow line. But nobody seems to care till it rains, and when it rains, you're too late. You can't even get out and look around and see what's going on. And I can't understand why you can't put license on all these cars and inspection stickers that's sitting on all these used car lots with all these trailer houses coming in, and we're not going to get a penny out of them. These cars can have license whether they're selling them or not. If you can be seen from the road, they ought to have license, just like they do in Needland, Port Neches, Groves, and Jefferson County. It's thousands and thousands of dollars we're not accepting from the car dealers. It's just got cars, just every little lot, every little acre of ground, they're parking something on it that nobody's paying no taxes on. If you want the people to pay the taxes, then let them pay the taxes too. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Sabrina, there she is.
Good morning. I'm Sabrina Graham with the Orange County Expo Center in the Parks Department. And we just wanted to let everybody know that Cleburne Park currently is closed, and know that the staff is out there getting the park ready to get it opened back up as soon as we can get it disinfected and find all the picnic tables and things out there. The Raymond Gould Center did sustain damage, and know that the maintenance department is working to get that building assessed. And we have refunded all those events that have scheduled for the Raymond Gould Center. The auditor's office is taking care of that. But we want to know that the park will be open as soon as we can get it cleaned up. We haven't canceled all those reservations, but we invite everybody to come back out as soon as we get cleaned up.
Didn't you say some of it has been mowed already?
What's that?
The park, Cleburne.
They haven't mowed since a couple weeks ago. But they are able to get to the back of the park and start the cleanup process and bring everything forward and get it disinfected for the public.
We had a work day scheduled for this weekend that obviously is canceled.
It is canceled. Again, we're not sure what's all out there and around, so we didn't feel like it was safe to invite the public back this weekend, but we will reschedule the National Public Lands Day. We may call it something else, but we look forward to inviting volunteers to come out and help us put it back together.
Good, Sabrina.
Thank you, Sabrina.
Great job.
Yes.
By the way.
All right. Anyone else? Anyone from the court?
Sure. There's probably too many people to thank, but I'm going to take a shot at it. It's the Orange County Sheriff's Department, all the deputies, all those guys were great. We had the ESDs were coming in. Matter of fact, I was up in Little Cypress during the flood, and ESD number 4 out of Newton County had actually came in to help. You saw the Texas Parks and Wildlife guys were out there. Acadian was I saw in the EOC, Caden had a couple folks come in that were a little distressed, and Caden got on those folks right away and treated them, so that was great that we had them there. All the employees at the EOC, the road and bridge guys, everybody in the county stepped up and did their part. Too many people to really the name, but I did want to name a few because you saw them out there. They were doing what they could to make it better. Sabrina, I appreciate you getting out to the park, and Laura getting the equipment, making sure it was running and working on that, because we've had issues with flooded equipment out there before. It's good to hear that most of that's in good running condition, even though they did get some water. So appreciate all the employees just stepping up. Joel, your whole group did a great job, and so thank all of those folks up there.
I'd just like to thank Road and Bridge and the Sheriff's Department. They gave me rides on Thursday out on Highway 12 and up 62. We rescued people on our way there out of cars that just couldn't make it, and got people to the expo. And everybody had such a good attitude about everything. And there was no, you know, flare-ups or anything like that that I saw. People were doing their job. They were doing it with caring and a smile on their face. I know Mauriceville was so hard hit. I was up there on Monday giving out supplies. I've been out there since then in different neighborhoods, sit down around at a carport with seven or eight men in the neighborhood and had like a neighborhood meeting right there. I've had three or four of those. So, but that's when things come out, and that's when we try to work out what happened and what how we could prevent it from happening again.
Well, as I always say, and I've said it too many times, we're very experienced at this, and we do a hell of a job, and I'll say that. The cities, the county, the employees, the sheriff's office, all the guys that were supporting everybody. It's you can go on and on, but everybody in this whole county and all the entities that came and joined us for this disaster is it's something to watch, something to be part of. Citizens, I mean, our citizens are the most resilient people, I think, everywhere. That has made us, sadly, really good at this. That's not something I wanted to claim the fame to be good at, but we are from the whole Southeast Texas. I'm proud of everybody and everything, from the citizens on up to all the entities, again, to the guys that put themselves out there and risk their lives to help people. It's amazing to watch. It's amazing to know these people. It's not an amazing thing to do, and I really don't want to ever do it again. I've said that four times now, and I don't want to say it anymore. And I pray that this never happens again. But we're gonna survive it. We're gonna move forward, and thank everyone that's involved in this thing, because it takes us all to make this thing happen.
Well, I'd also like to thank all the commissioners and the judge. Precinct 4 was hit extremely hard, my citizens for the second time, my neighbors. Most of the commissioners have reached out to me or either came over. The judge has been over there several times. We will survive it. We will make it. Sabrina Gray, some of the things I saw you do that are well outside the scope of parks it's phenomenal. Sheriff, can't thank y'all enough. We will move forward, and I appreciate everybody that has helped our people.
Well, I'll close. I said mine at the beginning. Again, like Joel, it's hard when you name people because you miss people. I mean, you do, and everybody's important. Every single person that helped is important. The thing that I'd like to briefly talk about real quick is, look, drainage is an issue. We know drainage is an issue. We've been working on drainage. I think the Commissioner Trahan at one point, if I remember his words correctly, a long time ago, was we started working on drainage the day we took the seat, we took the office. That is something we will always face here. But I would like to talk about something. We had a meeting here yesterday that I hosted here with all the local mayors and city managers. We had Jasper County judge. We had the Newton County judge here. We had Sabine River Authority. We had TxDOT. We had all the groups, because what's going on in the way that we're going to be able to help our community moving forward is Representative Dade Phelan got $1.5 billion allocated in this last legislative session for drainage projects throughout the state of Texas. We know me and Commissioner Trahan had a meeting that Dade helped set up for us with the Texas Water Board, And we went up there and met with one of the commissioners, the lady that oversees that, and she told us the first thing, multiple things, but the first thing she said, which stuck with us at that point, was regionalization. And what that means, we have got to start approaching these kind of projects that we're doing with drainage in a regional manner. Because when we go to, and I'm going to say the word, when we go to battle, because it's a battle to get this money for your community, when we go to battle, we have got to be a bigger presence than just Orange, Texas, because the other communities are showing up as a regional approach. And so that yesterday was our first step towards doing that, so that we can have some plans put in place when this money becomes available in January. We want to get our share of it, and we need to have a project that reaches, because the way to solve this is, of course, doing all the little work we're doing with the small ditches and to go to the bigger ditches and stuff, but we have got to have a plan that moves that water and or holds that water, whatever it ends up being, by people that are going to be smart, far smarter than I am, to design something to move water from the northern part of our county, from the northern part of our watershed, down to the Gulf of Mexico into Sabine Lake. And those projects are extremely expensive, and we cannot fund them locally. So our chance is to do this regional approach, to where we're going to be, you know, hopefully sitting in Austin in January with a group that says, here's a plan, here's what we need to do with our major tributaries, because that's where it's at. That's the only way we're going to solve these big water issues. But we got to have, first, we got to have a plan, and second, we got to have funding. And by having a regional approach to it, I think is our chance. And I will tell you that out of everybody that was here yesterday from the Jasper County, Newton County, all the way down, everybody's on board. And I'll tell you why that's important, because to truly fix water and stuff, we've got to start from the bottom up. We've got to start down here, and we've got to start cleaning them and moving upwards. And that means that the Jasper County, the Newton County folks are going to sit there and watch us spend money for probably 2 or 3 years in an approved project that they're not going to see happen in their area till it gets to their area. And you got to have buy-in from those folks, and they're in, because they see the need too. And they see how it helps us and how it helps them, because what we keep doing and what we continue is, when you move water from one point, you're just moving it to somebody else. And if you don't fix it all the way down, you just flood somebody else. And we don't want to do that. We want to move the water from up there. We want to move it down and move it into our Sabine Lake and out to the Gulf without negatively affecting the other communities. And if we don't work together on that, that's what we see happen. And so, you know, you're going to see more and more about that. You know, I'm getting ready to start doing the city council meetings. Dade Phelan, the representative Phelan, is doing it statewide to start, you know, promoting it, because that's the answer. You know, and we've got to fix it in a bigger scale. You know, we've done a lot of work with the deal. I was on a deal with a gentleman this morning. We talked about some work that we did off of Cajun Way in that direction yesterday, and we talked about some of the little things that we've done there. You know, and he said, man, my house, he flooded the last time. He said the water was an inch from my house. And he said, and I know if y'all wouldn't have put the two culverts at the end of the ditch that the road and bridge did at the end of Jackie Street, he said, I probably would have flooded this time. So if we can keep whittling away at it, and we're going to keep doing that locally. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep whittling away at it locally. But the answer lies in the bigger projects, folks. I mean, it really does. And so you're going to see all of us participate in that and start pushing that, because I know our citizens want answers. I want answers, okay? You know, I don't like flooding either. You know, I have a couple of times too. So we've got to approach it differently. We've got to approach it bigger. And we've got to work with our neighboring counties and communities to do that. And so I just want to get that out there, because you're going to start seeing that as we go around, and you're going to start seeing those kind of things happen and discussions being made about that. So please understand, we're trying to do something. We have been trying to do something. I'd love for Clark to sit up here and tell you how many times one of us up here has called him about drainage issues since the day we stepped here. And I'm sure he's been dealing with it his whole time here, because it's an ongoing process. But to truly make an impact, we got to hit it from a bigger perspective. And so I hope as we start moving for that, we have the support of our community that I think we do, because we want to solve it too. I don't know that we'll ever solve a 40-inch rain. I don't.
No.
But I'd sure like to be able to solve a 20-inch rain. And even if that 40-inch rain, if the changes we make keeps 100 houses less from flooding, then we've made an impact. And that's where we got to go. So I got to think that all the work that's been done by us and with the cities and the drainage district since Harvey kept a bunch of houses from flooding this time. Okay, and so Carl Vaughn's been here. So how much work have we spent out there at your area? We've done a ton and stuff, and so it made an impact. But we got a long ways to go. We know we got a long ways to go, but we just want our citizens to know that we are working to try to solve this issue if we can. But we're definitely going to do stuff that's going to make an impact. So thank you. That's kind of my piece of it.
Speaking on Dave Veland's bill and the money that was set aside, the citizens play a part in this too come this November. Proposition 8, the money that has been set aside to be constitutionally locked up to where it can't be pulled out through time to pay for other things. Proposition 8, if you pass it, that money is locked up for regional drainage projects only.
Yes.
And can't be brought into any other part of the state government spending budget.
Yeah.
So that's very important that money gets locked up to regional drainage.
And before we leave, I think we forgot one part of this whole system to be thankful for, and I'm going to say it's the news media. We appreciate everything y'all do, because to get things out, it's very, very, very important. And we appreciate the news media. I will say that. When I was in the middle of Ike, the news media was the only way my people were getting information, period. And we really appreciate y'all, all the news media.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that.
Yeah, and thank you. I've talked to all of you on the phone several times about stuff. Thank you for that information. It's great.
Just get you to quit reporting the bad news.
Does this count as bad news?
It's all good.
It's just life.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? If not, then I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Motion. Second.
All in favor.
We're in favor.